glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for May 8th, 2025. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we're talking with Dr. Charles Stone about a subject that we all know intimately. It's stress. He is the author of Stress Less from Moody Publishers. Thanks so much for joining us on Mark and Friends.
Donna, great to be with you.
So looking at your material, let's start out with the three B's. That is the foundation for, I guess, the entire book. So explain your three B's.
I'll give them to you, then give a kind of a quick summary. It's Bible, brain science, and best practices. And what I did was I'd love God's Word, been a pastor for many years, but also love brain science because my youngest daughter was diagnosed with a brain tumor at age one. She's 36 now, doing pretty well. So I kind of lived in this brain science world, and that stirred my interest. And the final B, best practices, really refers to 9 practices I discovered. And of course, there are probably many more. 9 specific practices that help us deal with the stress that we just, face every day. So the Bible, brain science, and best practices, those are the three B's interwoven in the book.
Our audience, Charles, is very aware of the Bible. They love the Word of God, and they get the concept of renewing our mind. And that plays well into the brain science. So break it down for us. Help us understand, what are you talking about? Because I heard years ago about how when we renew our mind, it actually changes things biologically in our brain.
Yes, it does, Donna. The more I learn about the brain, I've had some education, of course, lived in this world of neuroscience with our daughter. It's just an amazing 2 to 3 pound part of our body that is really the command and control center of everything. And I find it interesting that science is catching up more and more to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe all truth is God's truth. Engineering principles are truth. Math is truth. But God's word is like the umbrella over everything else.
Yeah.
And everything else falls underneath that. And the Apostle Paul talked a lot about the mind. I actually think he was like the first neuroscientist because he understood the importance of the mind. Philippians 4:8 is one of my most favorite verses. It goes like this: "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," then he gives the key, "think about those things." Because as we think, so we go. And you're right, what you heard some time back, that what we put into our mind, what we think about, actually reconfigures the circuits in our brain. So all the more reason that we make sure that truth comes into our minds and that we dwell on that, because there is actually a biophysical change that happens, part of God's amazing creation.
That is amazing. And it actually creates new little channels in that gray matter. You look at our brain and there's all these little grooves in there. And so it will go in and chemically kind of redo the pathways.
Exactly. It's kind of like, decades and decades and decades ago, before we had the full street road system, people would walk along a path and they'd be a little narrow path, to get from point A to point B. And then more people would walk on the path would get wider. And then in 1800s, wagons then would go along that path. And ultimately, streets were paved. And that's exactly what happens in our brain. The more we encounter things that we think about and repeat those things, the more it creates those paths and grooves. And it can also, Donna, do the opposite. If we're just focused on the negative and things that really aren't true, we also reconfigure our brains in that way as well. So going to make sure what we put into our minds.
I find myself, when I'm dwelling on a negative situation from the past, it's so loud in my brain, and I just want it to quiet down. I'm sick of thinking about it. And I heard a pastor once, and I'm sure you found this within your research, it's about putting up the roadblocks, you know, so you're going down one road and you've always gone down that one path, you know, of anger, stress. That's what we're talking about, the stressless option. You put a roadblock, you say, no, I'm going to stop it right here. Take us into the third B of the practices, the best practices. How does that road work get redone? Turn us into road workers.
You bet. That's a great metaphor. Well, kind of one way to think about it is through a, I'm going to give you a big word.
Okay.
The audience, a big
I'm
word.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Important word. Okay. It's called metacognition. Metacognition, which really means thinking about your thinking. And when we go down these roads that we shouldn't be on, oftentimes we just keep going down those roads because we don't pause long enough to stop and think about what we're thinking about. And that was one of the principles that I write about practices is something I call audit your thoughts. Practicing metacognition, stopping long enough to think about and ask yourself, well, just what am I thinking about right now? And who's the sponsor? Is it the enemy? Is it my worry? Or is it the Lord? So this is so important to develop the discipline of learning to pause during the day just to stop to think about what you're thinking about so that you can change those channels if you need to. Because what really smart scientists have found is that when we stop to think about what we're thinking about and we reframe those negative perceptions, we actually lower the stress response and we can think more clearly and we can more easily shift that thinking from, you know, that negative road to the positive road. But the key is learning to stop long enough, maybe take a breath or two, and then audit those thoughts. What am I thinking about? Do I need to change channels?
That's so good. And that just goes right into the first B, take every thought captive. And my husband was in law enforcement for 23 years. And so to me, it's like arrest that thought, you know?
Love it. Yes.
Just arrest you. That's what I have to do. I have to wrestle them down. I have to arrest them. And I have to take it captive saying, nope, you do not get to have free reign in my brain. And help us work that out, because we all feel so helpless. We feel like we're victims of our thoughts, you know, and they just come in, they take over, and they just keep plowing through our brain. Give us some more tools on how to arrest them.
You bet. Well, I've created these kind of 9 practices that are Bible-based, neuroscience-informed, and then the practical side of it. And one of the practices that is one of the easiest to help us just rein in these thoughts that contribute to stress is what I call seize and breathe. This is the first one I talk about. You know, we look at the Bible. We see breath throughout the Bible. In Genesis, God breathed a life into Adam. He became a living being.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, we see where Jesus breathed on the early church, the Holy Spirit came. Even in the Psalms, like the Psalm was to have a verse here that I really appreciate, Psalm 156, it goes like this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we see it, you know, all throughout the Scriptures. But one of the key insights is this. When we, you know, we all breathe all the time, in, out, in, out, in, out. But what really smart people have found that when we breathe out longer on the exhale than the inhale, it actually engages a specific nerve in our brain that calms our system. And I call it the sniff breath. So like, you know, we breathe in. But the sniff breath is breathe in, then just do another extra sniff. And then slowly breathe out through your nose. Simply doing that lowers the stress response. It's kind of like in the Olympics, platform divers. When they go out on the end of the platform, they don't just jump and do their dive. They're doing some deep breathing because they understand that God wired us in this way. So that is a simple little tool when you're feeling stressed, when those worries are really, you know, just taking over, do some deep breathing. But you got to stop and think about your thoughts and then practice this. And that is a really a surefire way to lower that stress that you may be feeling at the moment.
The vagus nerve is my favorite nerve in the body.
Yes.
And that is that wonderful nerve that God created. And it connects to our major organs. It connects to our heart. And we can hack it, which is so incredible. We can hack into a nerve that's automatic, and we can turn it into manual, and we can get this body of ours settled down. Now, Charles, let's do it. Let's practice this breathing. Why don't you, you know, let's do it all together here. I mean, let's see if it works, right? Here you are saying, this is a good option. So I say, let's, in this moment, you teach us how to do it. I'll do it with you.
Let's do it. Okay, so you're in a stressful situation. Could be at work, could be at home. Just stop, pull away a little bit, and then the sniff breath. So I'm going to just breathe, and hopefully the sound of my breath will come through. So good deep breath in, a sniff breath, pause a couple of seconds, and slowly exhale.
Okay, I see what you did there. So it's a deeper breath first, and then a sniff.
Yeah, just get a little more air in those lungs, and then slowly exhale through your nose. And really, like labs across the country that do these kind of experiments, they have found it really does calm that vagus nerve. You know, before I do an interview like this, I will do it maybe 3 or 4 times. And you can actually feel like, oh, you know, like I keep my stress in my shoulders, I can feel my shoulders relaxing. So 3, 4, 5 times, that's probably good. And then an hour later, may need to do it again.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do a good 3 here. But yeah, I did hear 5 is kind of that wonderful number to really just do a sweet hack. So we'll do 3, okay, together?
Okay, okay, here we go. Through. All right, in breath. Sniff. Hold a couple of seconds. Breathe out. Breathe in. Sniff breath, hold a couple seconds, breathe out. One more, in breath, sniff breath, pause, out breath. I'm too relaxed here now.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. I mean, now I think our dear listeners are going to need a couple more cups of coffee.
Just I tell you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, but you know, I noticed like the first one, my shoulders were way up, very tense.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
yeah.
by the third one, you're like, okay, I can relax. And
isn't that amazing how you notice those things? God gave us our breath, and he gave us the ability to really live. He could have figured out some other way, but he gave us our breath, and he gave us wisdom to know how to use our breath so that we can honor him best as we respond to stress. So it's just an amazing thing God's given us, among many other things he's given us.
What a gift. You're right. And we always get into this shallow breathing when we're under a really stressful situation, which doesn't help. It doesn't, you know, give us that oxygen that we need to have our brain think clearly. You know, the brain needs oxygen. That's so important. And I think that's what we're helping it get a little bit more so, you know, God can have access to it.
Well, that practice is probably the one that I recommend first and foremost. But there's another piece as well. We've talked a little bit about the mind. It's what I call reveal how you feel. And throughout Scripture, and I think especially in the Psalms, King David was so honest about his feelings. Very, very transparent, very vocal about the, you know, his difficult emotions.
Yeah.
We have these emotions. They're going to be difficult. However, again, these really smart people have figured out when we name those difficult emotions, you know, Lord, I'm feeling worry right now, I'm feeling anxiety right now, I'm feeling depressed right now. When we name them, that actually calms the nervous system, calms our stress. And there's a simple little another hack. I love the way you use the word hack, like for a vagal nerve. But here's a little hack. When you're feeling these emotions, talk to yourself. Now, Donna, I don't know if you talk to yourself.
I do all the time.
Okay.
And I even answer myself. I even answer it. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I don't do it publicly. Just do it private. But anyway, that simple tool, talking to yourself, it takes a second person perspective. For example, let me just give you a made-up example. My next-door neighbor is Kevin. Great guy. Let's say for some reason he really made me angry. This is not the way to deal with anger. I am so mad at Kevin. That does not help. Rather, the emotion is there, whether right or wrong, whether I respond to right or wrong, but it's there. Take in that second-person perspective and talk to yourself. Here's how it would go. Okay, Charles, I can see that you are really angry at Kevin. Let's think about this. Let's just calm down a little bit. Let's think of what would be the appropriate next step. That's that creating distance between, you still feel the emotion, but between the emotion and healthy thinking. So simply talking to yourself is one of the practical ways to be able to name this emotion without amping it up. Rather, it amps it down and lowers the stress response. Another simple practice we can do and take anywhere with us.
You know, and David, he was loud about it. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?"
There you go.
Put
He's
your
talking to
hope
himself.
In God. He even comes with his own solution. Put your hope in God, my Savior, my God, who I will forever praise. So I always go back to that truth of, Donna, why are you so downcast? Why are you upset? What's going on here, girl? And then, you know, you talk yourself off the ledge, and then you give yourself the solution. Put your hope in God. Let's praise Him. And it does work. I settle down.
It does. It absolutely does. You know, God, the emotions that God gives us, they're not meant to just be seen as static, but they're meant to be seen as signals. They can tell us something that we need to deal with something going on in our lives. So, but we need to be able to have that clear thinking space. And when we name those emotions, we have that little conversation, it allows us to think more clearly on how we might take a next step that would indeed honor the Lord.
Well, we can't get to all of them, but we do have just a few more minutes here, Charles. We're talking with Dr. Charles Stone. He is the author of Stress Less from Booty Publishers. And just give us a few more little hacks, and then we'll have to get the book to find out the rest.
You bet. Well, this is one that I really appreciate. It's what I call soak your soul. Now, you look at the life of Jesus. He was perfect. He was a God in the flesh in every way. But what do we find him often doing in his busy schedule? Drawing away to be with his Heavenly Father. I mean, it's all throughout Scripture. Mark 1:35 says that Jesus regularly withdrew to spend time with his Father. Again, some really smart people have found that spiritual practices like prayer versus using prayer just to ruminate over problems. It's not meant to be a worry session. Prayer, meditating on God's word, contemplating God and his greatness, actually relaxes us and decreases the stress response. Now, we don't do those kinds of things so that we feel better. We do those kinds of things because God tells us to and because it honors him when we do. But the benefit is we actually do feel better and the stress response is lower. Now, this researcher's last name is Pargament, found that there are generally three ways we respond to difficult situations. One way is like, okay, God, I got this, got it covered. The other way is total passivity. God, you work it out. I'm not doing anything. But the middle ground, which is the ground that really is helpful for us, is seeing ourselves in partnership with God. God, I know you're in charge. You know what needs to happen. I want to partner with you and trust your spirit to give me strength and wisdom to move forward in this stressful situation. So soaking your soul is literally those practices that Scripture tells us to do. And when we do those, and when we're faced with a stressful situation, taking that middle ground, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to partner with you. Show me how I can leverage and use these spiritual practices to deal with this situation in a way that honors you. So soak your soul just reinforces the whole thing of practicing spiritual disciplines for us to be more like Christ. And it, by side benefit, it helps us deal with stress better.
And we know what stress does to our poor bodies. Can you speak to that? Have you done some research on, and just remind ourselves how damaging it is?
Well, there are two flavors of stress. There's acute stress, where we kind of So we have a deadline coming up, so we're going to feel a little more stressed. It'll help us be more focused, help us be able to think a little more clearly. So, but it goes away after a few hours. We're a baseline or a day or two. But chronic stress is when that stressful event is with us perpetually, it seems like, many days, weeks, and we're not responding in a healthy way. Chronic stress affects our memory, our thinking. It reduces motivation. It harms our body and brain. It disrupts sleep. It magnifies emotional pain, and it saps spiritual vitality. So when we're responding in a healthy way to this stress event that is out there for many days, weeks, months, years, you know, some of us maybe have family members that are chronically ill. That may never go away, but we have the ability to respond in a healthy way so that it doesn't damage our bodies and our brains and our thinking, those kinds of things. So yeah, chronic stress, not a good thing.
Mm-mm. Cortisol, inflammation, that's
yes.
All a part of it.
Very much so. You mentioned cortisol. It's called the stress hormone. Now, it's not all bad because we need it to help us metabolize the food we eat. But when it remains at a high level, that's where it does its damage, that chronic stress. And that's why it's so important to learn to be resilient and practice these little simple skills on a regular basis so that we don't do long-term damage to our bodies and our brains and even our relationships. They can affect those as well.
Any other last thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I'd say here be the two biggest takeaways. First of all, stress need not define you.
Mm.
Rather, let it refine you. God can use difficult situations, Scripture tells us this, to build character. So first, stress need not define you. Let it refine you. Secondly, there is hope in whatever you're facing. You can absolutely manage the effects of the stress response on your body by practicing some of these biblically based science-informed practices. So there's hope. You can manage the effects of stress on you. You can't maybe change the stress event, that thing out there, but you can change your response. So I say, Donna, those would be the two things I want to leave with your listeners.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We've been enjoying some thoughts from Dr. Charles Stone. He is the author of Stress Less from Moody Publishers. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stone, for being a part of Mark and Friends.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.